There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
High Noon, WEEI. A reminder, our coverage of the football postseason brought to you by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks.
I was told there was a flag. Somebody told me in my ear there was a flag. I'm not wrong. They were wrong.
That honestly was an unbelievable play call by CBS's top broadcast team.
Yeah.
The second the ball snapped, Romo goes, Josh Allen should have time here.
Had none.
Corner
blitz.
I couldn't imagine him being under more pressure. Yeah. I love
Romo. Three guys in his face.
Romo, when he first got the job, people remember this now. It's Jones and Keith here on WEEI. We'll get to your phone calls in a moment. People remember this. Romo would like highlight the receiver and he'd be like, take a look at this. This guy's going to be open. Yeah. It's wrong all the time now. Yeah. He'll circle a receiver. It's never the guy.
Well,
Josh is going to have time here under duress the second it happens. And Nance is going, and I was actually begging for this, rooting for this.
Yeah, so hopefully there is.
We didn't have to deal with crybaby people whining
going
about the refs. But I was hoping to God that Nance was right, that there was a flag on the field. And a huge call went against the Chiefs. Turns out Nance is blind or he saw a yellow cleat or something like
somebody
out
told
there.
Me there was a flag. It's like, what?
That was an unbelievably poor play call.
And then when you add to the end of the game about the whole Chief Pete and three Chief and all this nonsense, it's like, all right, guys, that's it. You're done.
Did we ever put
we'll
up our
next
poll
year
about that?
We're not doing that. We don't want either
a three Pete or a three Chief. A Chief Pete or a three Chief.
A Chief Pete.
Neither one of those should be mentioned ever again.
Okay, fine. But again, you got to pick one now. Chief Pete is 8 million times better than three Chief.
Chief Pete, yeah, but then again, like, what the hell does that even mean?
It's just a dude.
Like, Chief if you Pete. Told somebody at the like 10 years from now, you're like, remember when they did the Chief Pete? You're like, yeah, how many is that? There's no number on that. Is that seven in a row? Is it two in a row? And like, what even is that?
I've seen people pointing out on
three
Twitter
Chief?
And elsewhere. Three Chief is easily the worst. People want it to be called Keith because of the rest rolling it. A Thief Pete.
A Thief Pete.
Thief Pete.
What about Super Bowl Dream Warriors, which was what the third A Nightmare on Elm Street was called?
Oh.
Dream Warriors.
Got it.
So this is like the Super Bowl III Pete. But apparently Pat Riley trademarked that?
Yeah.
So that's why we can't say it. And that's the last time we're going to say it. We
don't Chief Pete.
We don't want to get the lawyers involved.
Yeah, no. You said earlier in the show, yeah. we get an email twice a year. Don't make April Fool's jokes.
Yeah, you're not Open Anthony. Cut it out.
And don't reference Michael Buffer. In fact, we've probably already said too much.
We've said way too much.
So
he's
very
protective of his catchphrase.
That's true. That is true. So we've said far too much when it comes to a Chief Pete.
That is weird. Here's a trivia question for you.
Oh, good.
The last three-peat in major sports was what?
Okay, so
three Chief.
I think Nance, I'm cheating here, because I think Nance wasn't it Kobe?
Yeah,
in the Lakers?
Shaq and Kobe, early 2000s.
Yeah, because Nance made it real awkward and said we were on the five-year anniversary of Kobe, his plane crash.
Helicopter.
I'm sorry, helicopter. So, like, yeah, I thought Nance made it. It was a weird thing to draw on. But, yes, that was the last three-peat in
professional sports. It's been over
sports,
20 years. Since we see. It's tough to do, is what they're trying to say. Unless, of course, you have the refs on your side. Then it's anything's possible.
So, look, neither of us think the league is in the bag for the Chiefs. I would acknowledge that the Chiefs, yet again, got a really good whistle yesterday.
I think the one stands out to me. I know people want to bring up 20 different reasons, and that's fine. You can watch the game and complain about the game any way you want. The one where 4th and 1 on the Chiefs 41, yeah. I thought Allen got it. One of the linesmen thought he got it.
Yeah.
One of them didn't. And then ultimately they had a little conference and he
didn't get it. Most of the football watching world thought he got it. Gene Steratore on the broadcast thought he got it. Romo, you can't take him at his word.
Yeah.
But Romo thought he got it. I thought he got it. You thought he got it. The Bills thought he got it. One official thought he got it. That was the most egregious call.
Let's just play this out real quick. So if the Bills get that call and they get the first down, it is now 1st and 10 on the Kansas City 41, mm-hmm. early 4th quarter with the Bills up 1. It's a good spot to be in, a better spot than giving the ball over, obviously, but there's no guarantee they win.
Of course not.
Maybe they go down and kick a field goal. Now the Chiefs only need a touchdown. Even if the Bills score a touchdown, unless they go for 2 and do something silly
it's
again.
It's still a 1-score game.
It's 8 points.
Mm-hmm.
And then the way the Chiefs are going, I bet they score, and I bet they get the 2 if need be. So the game's not over, but that is a big play, and it is another one where you're like, it's an eye roll. Like I know some people are like freaking out about the calls that go their way. To me, it's annoying, and I hate even having to talk about it. But the Bills had their chances. I think the Bills were just as much of a reason. The Chiefs winning it, the refs favoring them, or what about the Bills losing it? What about some of the bad play calls and decisions by the Buffalo Bills?
Okay, so let's start with this one, because I know you have thoughts on McDermott specifically.
Yep.
Let's start with, and I heard Wiggy saying this all morning, it's a great point. 3:33 left, you're down 3, Josh Allen has the ball with 3 timeouts and the 2-minute warning at his own 30. You need 40 yards, 35, 40 yards, and you can't pick that up. Now, Dalton Kincaid has a drop. Why don't we focus on Dalton Kincaid dropping what would have been a challenging catch?
Yeah, that would have been tough.
Instead of crying about the refs, or focus on Josh Allen missing Khalil Shakir, leaking out of the backfield wide open. On the left side, would have been thrown across the field, but on the left side of the field, wide open.
Yeah.
So why don't we focus on some of that, or the plays leading up to that where Allen didn't come through, incomplete passes, one that Romo thought he threw away over the middle of the field, another where I think Curtis Samuel dropped it, and then a short pass to Amari Cooper. Like, all those plays leading up to it, Allen didn't come through in that spot. So, yeah, the refs made a bang-bang call against the Bills and in favor of the Kansas City Chiefs. But that was early on in the 4th quarter. The Bills had their chances after that. And that's before you even get to McDermott going for 2 multiple times and costing his team points.
Yeah, it took points off the board, which in the first half, I'm certainly not in favor of. And so you gain an extra yard, and now you're going to run this Josh Allen thing, which was kind of a precursor to later in the game, but it was even more important and you didn't get it there. But I, for the most part, wouldn't go for 2 unless you're in the 4th quarter, because so many things can happen. You just want to add as many points as possible. So if you play it out, even the way the game was played, they're down 21-10, they score the touchdown, they kick the point. Then they're like, oh, wait a minute, offsides, let's go for 2. They don't get it. But if they did get it, if they just took the point, it's halftime and it's 21-17. The next score in the game was also by the Bills. And so now they go for 2 again. So they're chasing it again. So rather than being up 24-21, had just kicked a pair of extra points, now you're only up by 1. Now, ultimately, used by 3 and whatever, you do the whole thing. But like,
that field goal makes a significant difference
in
the game.
Yes, it does.
Sure.
And so, I just think, I don't know why you do that. So,
I didn't have an issue with the first one, just so. Obviously, it didn't work out. I'm not arguing that it would have worked out and it would have been smarter for McDermott to kick it. I didn't have an issue with the first one. The ball moved from the 2 to the 1. You have Josh Allen at the 1. This is before we knew the Chiefs were stopping every single Allen sneak. I didn't have a problem with that. I'm like, Josh Allen should get him from the 1. I didn't have a big issue with that. I thought the Chiefs gave them an opportunity, and I would have taken advantage of it. Obviously, I was wrong. It didn't work out that way. I didn't hate that one. The second one, I had a bigger issue with.
I just think it's weird because, what are you thinking? There's just going to be a field goal left? That's all you're going to have for points for you and for them? Like, the math doesn't really make sense to me. But then on top of that, all right, so those are 2 individual calls. I also thought Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator, who is in the mix for, I guess, maybe the remaining head coaching job that is still out there. His name has at least gotten brought up. James Cook got the ball, or got 13 carries. He averaged 6.5 yards a pop And this game was close throughout. So
he was their most explosive player all day long.
He was great. And he even caught three passes and was pretty good for him there. He should have gotten the ball a lot more. We kind of highlighted this last week going into it. The receivers for the Bills really aren't great. You know, Amari Cooper did a little bit more than I even thought he was going to do. Keon Coleman's whatever.
That screen to Amari Cooper was insane, by the way. Dude can't run, and they throw it to him on a key spot.
Good point.
It's true. That is true.
So, well, James Cook is the one real, like, weapon that Josh Allen has, and he didn't touch the ball nearly enough.
No. Allen had 11 carries to 13 for Cook, and Allen did not run it well yesterday. The Chiefs had a good game plan for him. Chris Jones blew it up. Spagnuolo had a good game plan for it. So credit
first
there.
Play of the game right off the rip is like a Josh Allen run for 4 yards. And you're like, oh boy.
The Bills gave 8 other carries to the running back, 6 to Ty Johnson, 2 to Ray Davis.
Yeah, too many.
So
useless.
Yeah.
Those are useless carries.
There would have been a better way to handle that. You also could have, talking about the issues they have at receiver, we haven't brought this up yet today, I don't think. Maybe we did in passing. The Bills and Chiefs made a trade going into the season, which blew up in their face yesterday. Xavier Worthy was the best receiver on the field, certainly the best receiver for Kansas City. 6 grabs, 85 yards, a touchdown. He added another 16 on the ground. His prop was 3.5 rushing, by the way. I took the over on that.
Oh,
that was
nice.
Easy money.
There you go.
16 on the ground for Xavier Worthy. He was the best receiver on the field. He was,
Fast. After
James Cook, the second most explosive player on the field, I feel like.
Yeah.
The Bills and Chiefs made a swap. The Bills traded down and took Keon Coleman, who I like.
Yeah, but
the Chiefs moved up and took Xavier Worthy, and yeah, maybe that would flip. So instead of crying about the officials, look at the Bills for some of their personnel tactics, that one there. Their play calling, their usage of James Cook, they didn't use him enough. Dalton Kincaid with a drop. Josh Allen not coming through with 3:33 left. Sean McDermott with some questionable play calls. Or you can just cry about the refs and say the league is in the bag for Kansas City, which, Keith, if the league is in the bag for Kansas City, what should Patriots fans do?
Bet all their money on the Chiefs.
Bet all their money on the Chiefs.
Go all in on the Chiefs.
Chiefs money line.
And don't do what I do. Don't add a whole bunch of props because that's where you go astray. That's where you get bamboozled and hoodwinked and all that.
Bet everything in the account on the Chiefs.
Just bet on the Chiefs.
Put your money where your mouth is.
They're obviously winning.
Go for it. It's already it's predetermined.
Enjoy the profits.
It's a script.
Don't start betting anytime touchdowns, though. You can really go down a road.
One bet.
Just bet.
One bet.
All your hams.
Chiefs money line.
Yeah.
The whole account. Empty the account.
That's it.
Because the league's fixed, right?
You should be able to be pretty profitable if you know the result.
617-779-7937. All your thoughts on those games yesterday. Let's go to Nick in Weymouth waiting patiently. Hello, Nick.
Hey, how you doing? Just a couple of quick comments on the Chiefs. I root for them. I like good football. That's why I root for them.
Okay.
Anyway, maybe it's in their game plan defensively. Maybe this is why they're only winning by 1.5 scores, whatever.
What? Let's stick with your first point, Nick. Because
it's a little noisy
there. In fairness,
what was going on back there?
I left him on hold for a while, not intentionally, but I just we started talking about McDaniel.
He was legit out of breath.
We talked about Jeff Lurie, so maybe he was just like, "Hey, while I'm on hold, I'll get in like a good pump. I'll get a good workout."
Oh, you think he's working out?
Could be.
He's at the gym.
Maybe.
Hello, everybody, working out. Hope you're getting a good lift in.
Look, I think we're a good show for a midday
for
workout. Yeah.
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 Why not?
So
he was winded.
He likes watching the Chiefs because he likes watching good football. This is Nate Burleson's side of the street. Have you heard him finger wagging people last night?
No.
Don't root against the Chiefs.
Don't tell me what to do.
Root for greatness.
Yeah.
Which, don't do that, Burleson.
No. The great thing about dynasties in all sports is that fan base can live in it. We did it with the Patriots for 20 years. You can live in it. You can ridicule everybody else. But then they become the villain, and you need villains. And so right now the Chiefs are the villain. So I don't need Nate Burleson to be like, don't root against the Chiefs. Go ahead and root against them.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, just don't turn the TV off. That's what you need to be worried about. Like, don't be like, oh, the game's fixed. I don't want to watch it.
Yeah,
that's what they need to be worried about.
That's no good.
But just, like, watching the teams, like, yeah, we want to watch them lose. Just like you want to watch the Yankees lose. You want to watch whatever other dynasty you can come up with.
Yeah,
you want to see them lose.
I'm
Duke,
sure people
basketball.
Don't believe this. I was rooting for Buffalo last night. I desperately wanted Buffalo to win that game. I don't want – I root against Kansas City like I rooted against the Bulls as a child, the Yankees as a child, and the
Cowboys.
Yankees is more cloudy. Cowboys is a good one. The Patriots by the end, as a Patriots fan, I'm like, I can't take it anymore.
Oh, that's you.
With this team being too good for too long and too dominant. Like – No, so
I wanted more.
I'm not on board with the Chiefs. I'm not.
No,
but I am not going to sit here and cry about how the league's in the bag for the Chiefs either. Chiefs got a good call. The Bills had plenty of opportunities to do something about it,
and
they failed.
Yeah.
Let's go to. Oh, this is good. This is on your Keyspiracy.
Oh, hell yeah.
Frank's in Manchester. Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, Frank.
Hey guys, how you doing? First time caller, long time listener. I just wanted to say, Keith, I think you're great. I've been following you way back since you were with Dale. So, and sure. Jones, you're here as well. I just wanted to call in to support the Keefspiracy of Mahomes being awkward.
Yeah.
I was watching last night with my fiance, and she doesn't really watch football all that much. And one of the first things she said when the Chiefs got on offense, I walked back into the room. She's like, "Hey, you know that Mahomes guy?" I'm like, "Yeah." And she's like, "He's kind of awkward when he runs." And yeah, I'm like, "You know,
she gets it.
He is." And so I figured I'd call in to let you know.
Thank you, Frank.
That thing is catching on like wildfire,
Keith. I think that's why he gets some of the calls.
It's certainly,
he doesn't run like a normal football runner.
It's certainly increased exponentially from last week.
That's right.
The movement. there's
buzz.
Buzz around the movement. There's
it
no
starts
doubt about
somewhere,
it.
And that's a good test. If you have non-football fans just jumping in, parachuting in, right? Because
yep.
Some of us, you might have already had your minds made up.
Mm-hmm.
Frank's fiance, not so much.
No.
Good test. Case actually
real nice test.
And she's like, "Look at this guy running all weird."
One thing I'll say about Mahomes is the week prior, I thought it was embarrassing for him flopping around trying to get calls, late slides.
No, there. he was less annoying this week.
Well, right. And so that's one thing I would say. If you're crying about the way the Chiefs play and the league favoring Mahomes, I mean, Mahomes was running around day yesterday, and there was none of the flopping, none of the histrionics, at least that I saw yesterday.
We didn't even really talk about it last week because there was so much other stuff going on, but there was actually a play. Remember Josh Allen hit either Knox or Kincaid, like in the flat, and he got tackled, and he felt like he got tackled like late. And Allen was going crazy, like hoping that he got a call.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's annoying, too.
As much
as I like Josh Allen.
No, that's true.
Josh Allen flops more than Mahomes does.
I mean, Allen will.
Sure.
Yeah, while we're talking about crazy plays, that play down by the goal line where they stopped Josh Allen and then he threw it back across his body on the two-point conversion.
A madman. He's a little bit of a loon. Couple times, and it's insane.
But he technically fumbled. He didn't lose any of it. He fumbled three times, I think, in the game.
Yeah. No, it was including the one fourth down conversion he picked up where he jumped over the pile and lost
that
the ball.
That was crazy.
So, no, looking back to his first playoff game, remember how much of a clown we thought he was for like handing the ball to Houston or whatever happened in that playoff game?
That was one of the worst playoff games ever played.
Okay, it was, but in retrospect, I look back at it and I'm like, oh, he knew he could do all this stuff. He just didn't have it that day. Or he just wasn't fully comfortable in his own skin yet. But like,
dude,
looking back at it, the risks he takes.
Yeah.
I mean, he does it all the time now and he hardly ever screws it up.
The first possession yesterday,
he should have thrown two picks.
Yeah. He was just like, I don't know, he was running hot or maybe he was all hopped up or something. But it is amazing. They kept showing stats of Mahomes and Allen in games against each other, and there's almost like no interceptions. It's a million touchdowns. Oh, there's another stat today. Did you see what the score is?
No.
And I think, what is it, eight games? They, for some reason, throw out the first one. So it's like the four regular season wins for Allen and now the four postseason wins for Mahomes. The Chiefs have outscored the Bills 245 to 240. It's like the games are insane.
Here you go. The stat you were talking about. Mahomes, 9 touchdowns, 1 turnover, 4 sacks taken in their last 3 playoff meetings head-to-head. Allen, 9 touchdowns, no turnovers, 4 sacks taken.
Right. So it's not like Allen goes out there and like sucks in these games.
No.
Like he's just getting beat by Mahomes.
And the refs.
But he's like,
don't leave the refs out.
But that's also why, because Nance, right out, they couldn't even help themselves. Right away, before the game even started, Nance says to Romo, he's like, this is like Brady Manning, right? And Romo's like, yeah, of course, this is exactly what it's like. And at first you're like, all right, you're kind of putting over Allen a little too much. Not Mahomes. Mahomes' track record speaks for itself. But when it was Brady Manning, Manning had won multiple MVPs and Brady had won multiple Super Bowls. So like their resumes were better than this. However, I think because these guys play such great games, it kind of gets pushed forward.
It does. It does feel like it's Brady Manning. I get what you're saying. They're getting ahead of themselves with Allen, but I do get it.
Yeah.
One thing that I would like to debate, dig further in on, just discuss throughout the course of the 2 weeks leading in. It's too early to put Mahomes ahead of Brady. You and I agree on that.
Yeah, for sure.
Even if Mahomes three-peats.
It's not happening.
That's a nice check mark for him, but he's not ahead of Brady yet.
Nope.
He's ahead of everybody else, but he's not ahead of Brady.
Yeah.
Is it fair to say Mahomes is more clutch than Brady? Is that fair to say, or is that a better debate than greatest of all time? Like, who would you trust with the game on the line at the end?
I mean, probably still Brady.
Mahomes,
I feel like he's done it more.
Mahomes is so close, though.
Oh, Mahomes is insane. There's nobody else. I think that's a clear-cut two.
And the Mahomes running element is a big factor in that. Like, the clutch factor where he comes through with his legs picking up big plays is something that Brady
No, I know.
Didn't have in his arsenal and couldn't do.
Didn't really have to. Like, I mean, I still go back to the two that stand out to me, I guess, would be the first one with the Rams. Now, that wasn't even, if you really go back and watch that last drive, it's a lot of J.R. Redmond. It's a lot of this.
Balls, yeah.
But they moved the ball when they needed to, mm-hmm. and they won it then. And that was when we didn't even know how good he was going to be. And then anytime you come back from 25 points in a Super Bowl where you dig yourself this huge hole, and then from that moment forward, you pretty much have to be perfect.
Mahomes has come back against the Eagles and the 49ers. It wasn't 28-3, but he came back. He came back in both those Super Bowls.
No, well, that's also where I think their comparison is so.
And the 49ers, close. Meaning the first one, the Jimmy Garoppolo one. Maybe last year even technically counts as a comeback. I'm not sure.
But like, I think 2018 AFC Championship game is a good example of whoever got the ball in overtime. You're like, that team's gonna win.
Yeah. So
and so like when Brady got the ball in overtime against the Falcons after the comeback, you're like, they're gonna win. Like you. You know, like David Ortiz for a stretch, every time he was up, he's like, he's going to get a hit. He's going to get a home run, or he's at least going to get a hit and drive in a winning run. I think Brady and Mahomes have that same feeling where you're like, if it's one possession and they have the length of the field to go, I feel like both of them are going to win.
So, look, I mean, Brady, stop me if you've heard this before, Keith. Patriots fans bring it up every once and then. Brady is 2-0 head-to-head against Mahomes.
In his face.
In the playoffs.
And, yep.
One was in Tampa. It's an odd thing you're holding on to as Patriots fans, but that was in the Super Bowl. Head-to-head.
Still the GOAT.
Against Mahomes.
Yep.
The other one was the 2018 playoff game where the Patriots got an incredibly good whistle with Dee Ford being offside. But I think that's a better debate. Which one's more clutch, I think, is a better debate than who's the greatest of all time. That one's clearly Brady. You can try to fight that. That one's clearly Brady.
Mm-hmm.
I think the clutch one, to me, there's more of a gray area to it. You might still answer Brady, and I wouldn't say you're wrong, but that to me is the better debate because Mahomes in these spots always comes through.
Yeah.
Always.
Because Mahomes has only lost three playoff games,
correct.
Right? Because
two to Brady, one to Burrow.
You can go through and look at regular season comebacks and all that stuff, and that's fine. You know, Brady has a million games played. But he's got three losses, and they got smoked by Tampa. That Tampa defense just destroyed Mahomes. He had a terrible Super Bowl in that one. They lost to Cincinnati in a game that was close. He threw a couple of picks in that game. And then
you lost to Brady on a coin flip, AFC title game.
And that one, so that one, he obviously played well in and didn't throw a pick. So, yeah, I mean, they're both insanely. I guess there's just more examples. I mean, you have to go back and really dig into the stats about like fourth quarter comebacks and stuff like that. But in my head, I can't remember a time when Brady had the ball, needed to score, and then just didn't happen.
You can't.
Well, so
the Giants Super Bowls,
but they were up. They scored. That's more on the defense.
He got the ball back after Plaxico Burress.
The undefeated one.
Yeah, Brady got the ball back after Plaxico.
Oh, yeah. They didn't have a ton of time left. Actually, Moss almost made a play on that one, too.
What about the Eagles Super Bowl?
But they had the lead. They scored. He threw for like 500 yards in the Eagles Super Bowl.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, when he had the ball to come through at the end of the game, he fumbled.
Mm. All right, so there's, two examples. But I'm saying, like, the first Giants Super Bowl, I feel like he did what he needed to do, and then the defense let him down. Now, they didn't score a lot of points. That's sort of different, right, because they scored a million points in the Eagles Super Bowl. But I think he had excuses in both times.
No. I'm not saying Brady was poor in the clutch. I'm just saying there were definitely times where he didn't come through in those
spots. Yeah.
617-779-7937. You can jump in on this all day long here on Jones and Keefe. Billy Lanny with all the latest in your trending. When we come back, let's get into how big of a role the refs played for the Chiefs and whether or not you can handle two more weeks of this leading up to Super Bowl 59. That's right after.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for
in Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value Surge, truck's up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Third, the update.
Nance agrees. Gene Steratore agrees. Keith and I both agree. Bad spot for Buffalo on that play. I do disagree with Romo when he goes, no one can stop this play.
Yeah, no, it's been stopped.
The Chiefs stopped it 8 million times yesterday, Tony. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
They stopped it every single time, just about. The only time they didn't stop it is when Allen jumped over the top and they still stripped the ball away from him and he was lucky he recovered it.
Buffalo does it wrong. They need 3 guys shoving Allen in the back. They only have like one and he doesn't even always hit him. Well, he just kind of like does it himself.
This again is why, to me, the tush push is so cheap. Because it's dragging the quarterback across. This is how it should look if Jalen Hurts just tries to sneak through everybody. This is how it should look where Allen gets stopped periodically. Mm-hmm. It's mostly an unstoppable play.
Yeah.
It's been an unstoppable play for most of Josh Allen's career until yesterday where the Chiefs stopped it time and time again. So you can cry about the spot there, which I do think it was a bad spot.
It was.
Or you can say, hey, McDermott and Joe Brady, why are you going to keep doing this? This is your point, Keith, about James Cook, who looked explosive all day long yesterday.
When they get Allen kind of booting out, and he has the option to either throw it to Cook or run himself, how does that get stopped? I mean, how do you not pick up 3 feet on that?
The Chiefs did it with Mahomes a million times yesterday.
And he's half the runner.
Josh Allen is a great, great, great runner, and he's massive.
It's like, let's smash ourselves into Chris Jones. Like,
again, cry about the refs and the leagues in the bag for the Chiefs. I mean, fine, if you feel that way, you feel that way. How about some criticism for the play calling over and over and over again when you clearly don't have it? And Spagnuolo clearly has an answer for it, and Chris Jones is blowing it up time and time again.
Mm-hmm.
How about you run something different? Or no, let's just cry about the refs all day long. Meanwhile, I was reading Mike Florio, who says there was no pool report for the controversial fourth down stop, the play we just played for you. I didn't realize this. Apparently, the way, Keith, a pool report works is that one or more reporters covering the game in person have to make the request. So none of the media...
They were like, we're good?
None of the media even thought about requesting a pool report after the game for an there should have been an explanation.
Line judge had a first down, one didn't. What was that conversation like? What was the view? How did you guys determine that? Nothing? Let alone some of the other calls that were debatable.
Cleet Blakeman, and I'm sure it would have been like a nothing answer anyway, but the fact no pool report even requested and Cleet Blakeman wasn't asked to explain how they went from, it looked like, watching it, and I would agree with anybody crying about this, it looked like they initially marked the first down and then somehow came up with him being short. They reviewed the play.
Yeah.
That to me is a fair criticism. Why was there no pool report? Why was it not requested? Why did Cleet Blakeman not explain it? Maybe some of that's on the media for not requesting it. Maybe some of it's on the setup that the league has where these refs typically aren't made available.
Maybe the Bills
to the media
is just so demoralized. They're like, we just want to go home.
I would like an explanation on it.
Something.
But the Bills, again, had many opportunities after that play, which I think was an unfortunate call against them. They had many opportunities to go win the game, and they failed time and time again.
No, I mean, I put a lot of this on the Bills. They're kind of skating on this one, I feel like, because there's so much ref talk. And then maybe the next thing down is, well, it's Mahomes. You know it's hard to beat Mahomes and Reed. It's like, I don't know. I would look at what the Bills did. You know, going for two twice, there leaves a couple of points on the board. Maybe that just changes how teams play the rest of the way. Going away from James Cook, even though he looked like he was going to be unstoppable in the game. You know, and this is something we can get down, and we have 2 weeks to talk about it. But if Philly really sticks with the run, you know, if they really stick with Saquon Barkley, unlike Buffalo going away from it,
Buffalo
they might have a
gashing
chance.
Them with it.
And they're killing them.
And I'll give Romo credit for this. Romo, I thought, had a bad game. I thought Brady, by the way, had a good Sunday again. That's 2 weeks in a row I think Brady's been pretty good.
Which is shaping up for a good Super Bowl where more people are going to be listening and watching him as a broadcaster than ever before. And he's doing well.
So I thought Brady, if you were watching yesterday, the two-minute sequence leading up to halftime in the Eagles-Commanders NFC Championship game, I thought was great. I thought he gave you a lot of insight, not tongue-in-cheek at all. I thought he gave you a lot of insight into handling the clock there and the down and distance and the game situation. I thought Brady was really good.
Plus, he didn't even have a great game.
No.
You know, like,
no,
he did the best he could with that game.
He had a dog crap game. Maybe it turns out that Brady just had too many Cowboys games this year. They should have given him better football games.
I like that. Blame the Cowboys.
Maybe.
Let's blame the Cowboys. He did Cowboy game after Cowboy game after Cowboy game.
Brady's been noticeably better the last couple of weeks. But anyway, Romo did have this right. At halftime, he's like, I expect the Bills to lean on the run much more. And they started to.
They should have.
And it worked. Yep. So, right, maybe the Eagles will stick with it. They probably should.
They will. That's more their game.
I still wonder, Patriots fans, how you're going to handle 2 weeks of this. Because we really haven't talked about even the Philly part of it, where it's like, even if
this is the worst case scenario,
even
right?
If you're rooting against the Chiefs, that still means the Eagles are winning. And that's a real, I mean, I don't think it's that difficult decision.
It's like a doomsday scenario.
I'm going to root for Philly, but I'm not going to like the result of Philly winning. That's not going to be very enjoyable.
Because there's no team that was in the NFC playoffs, right? Like hypothetically, the Giants were really good. Then, okay, then it'd be the Giants.
Right.
But for the teams that made the playoffs, as a Patriots fan, this is the worst case scenario. Chiefs, self-evident. We know why. But then
Lions, Chiefs would have been so
Lions,
easy.
Oh, Lions are easy to root for. The Vikings are harmless. The
Jaden Daniels
Commanders
would have been so
them.
Easy to root for.
Rams, nobody would have rooted for the Rams, but it's not as like painful as rooting for the Eagles.
Well, I'd root for the Rams easily in that situation.
Yeah, I don't think people like the Rams.
Huh.
Yeah.
They
well,
don't?
I mean, they've beaten the Rams, so maybe they do a little
people
bit.
People don't like... Yeah, maybe does it stem back
Stafford,
to the...
Stafford, McVay, I don't know.
Yeah, people don't like McVay around.
Maybe that's what it
it's
is.
It's a threat to Belichick, that's why.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. He's too young. Yeah. The guy's 15 years old coaching Super Bowls. That's not supposed to happen. But yeah, no, this is far and away the worst scenario. You can't really root for either one, so maybe you just have to make a bunch of bets and root for your bets. Root for Saquon Barkley overs, I guess.
Believe it or not, he didn't hit his yardage over yesterday.
He didn't hit any of his overs.
He hit his touchdown over.
Oh, yeah, he sure did.
I mean, I don't know what the over-under was
there. I don't know,
there,
it was 3.5. He was under.
He didn't hit his yardage over.
Attempts, he didn't hit, because that was my for the Bozo.
That was, yep.
He didn't get anywhere near 25 carries. He only had 15. And then yards was up like 130, and he was at 118. But, you know, what are you going to do? Still had an unbelievable game.
So I think the answer is we're all going to be rooting for the Eagles, I think, but
yes,
that still means Philly fans at the end of the day get a victory, and you still got to put up with that. Like it really is not an ideal scenario. The one thing that I think works out and you can hold on to is Saquon's likable.
Saquon's
likable, and I'm a pro running back guy. It'd be nice to have a running back run a team to a championship.
AJ Brown's likable. I think Jalen Hurts is likable.
Is AJ Brown likable?
I like him.
No, I would like him on this team. Is he likable?
Is he unlikable?
I don't know.
He's reading books.
Yeah, he's tuning his team out and reading books in the middle of the game.
Tuned him out all the way to the Super Bowl. He's doing something right.
So that's fair.
Do you think Jalen Hurts is likable?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I like Jalen Hurts.
I think it's more Philly fans people have a problem with. Philly beating the Patriots in the Super Bowl. That stings from a few years ago. But their roster really isn't... Oh, you don't like Cooper DeJean.
I don't like DeJean or Bond.
Okay. So defensively, maybe they have a few guys. Like Devontae Smith, the Slim Reaper, he's harmless. Nobody, you don't really dislike him or even like him, probably. He's kind of in the middle. Sirianni's kind of all over the map, but he's not, I don't know. Is he really dislikable? No.
I don't think he's very likable.
I don't think he's, but I don't hate Nick Sirianni.
No, I think Philly, Eagles fans hate him more than anybody, actually. Yeah. I think that's probably the people who hate him the most.
All right, so what would you rather see, shots of Taylor Swift watching the game or Bradley Cooper?
Taylor Swift.
They showed Coop a bunch.
I think I'd rather see Taylor Swift.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Why not? Bradley Cooper, I mean, listen, I like the hangover as much as the next guy.
At least she's dating a player. At least she has a real reason to be there. At least she's dating a player.
Bradley Cooper's a fan.
Yeah, but then go sit in the stands.
No, he's not going to sit in the stands.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know.
He's an Oscar-nominated actor.
It's basically Wahlberg. It's Wahlberg out there. I don't have any time for that.
Better celebrity fan, Wahlberg or Bradley Cooper?
Bradley Cooper stays.
That's true.
So probably Bradley Cooper by default.
Yeah, Billy's got you there.
He's living it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although Mark Wahlberg played that guy that was an Eagle. Mark, so that's sort of
that's also true.
Invincible.
Yeah, what was his
Vince
name?
Vince Papale.
Vince Papale.
I was about to say Leo Papil. That's not
I don't think it was Leo Papil.
What was that? That's AAU guy around here? Who's Leo Papil?
Oh, yeah.
Vince Papale. I'm sorry.
Was he the guy that ran BABC?
That sounds right. Yeah, well, Wahlberg's tired because he gets up to work out at 2:30 in the morning.
The grind never stops.
Yeah, so I understand why he leaves games around.
So he's on it. Guys. I don't mind Bradley Cooper. Yeah,
I don't mind him either, but it's like, who would I rather see on the broadcast?
Taylor Swift.
Yeah, Taylor Swift.
You know that Inside the Actors Studio, that show?
Yeah.
He was a student there. So there's an old clip. So he was like a guest at one point, but there's an old clip of him in the crowd asking like Sean Penn a question. He's like, hey, Sean, like, what do you do like, to prepare for a scene?
Huh.
And they're like, oh, it's like young Bradley Cooper.
Wow.
Yeah. He's made it.
Good for him.
The guy made it.
Good for him, and good for his Eagles, who I'll be rooting for this
week. E-G-L-E-S, Eagles.
Andrew is in Wareham. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great.
I just wanted to ask you guys' thoughts on Doug Marrone, and then I wanted to share my rooting interest for next year. I want to see Drake May versus Jaden Daniels in the Super Bowl.
Okay. Well, that's same. It's getting a touch ahead of ourselves, but I'll root for that too.
But you got to put that stuff out there.
Yeah.
Are you a proponent of that? Like sometimes if you want something, you can't just bottle it up. You got to put it out there.
You
got to
manifest
universe.
It.
Yes.
Manifest.
So if you want Drake May, Jaden Daniels, don't keep that to yourself.
No.
Call in. Talk about it.
Speak it into existence.
I want Drake May versus Jaden Daniels. What a great Super Bowl that would be.
Yeah. I don't think it'd go well for Drake May.
How do you know that?
If they got
all the way there, they're doing something right.
I'm hoping for a worse quarterback on the other side of the Patriots get there, but whatever.
You're probably not going to go up against the Nick Foles again.
I don't mean to poo-poo your take already. On Marrone, we did talk about this earlier.
Good hire for offensive line coach.
I think it's a good sign they're bringing in real coaches.
Yeah.
Doug Marrone, St. Doug, had a winning year with Buffalo, went to an AFC title game with Jacksonville.
He quit the Bills after going 9-7.
But he's not your head coach. This is a high-level O-line coach.
Yeah.
I like the Thomas Brown hire. Again, he's not your play caller. He's not your head coach. He's your pass game coordinator. He had a bad year with Bryce Young in Carolina in 2023.
Yeah,
I think the play calling got better with the Bears, but he's from the McVay tree. I'm on board with that.
As your tight ends
coach, fine.
No, I like that. And I think Marrone, too, probably looking at Vrabel, will be like, listen, I can do a lot with a little, but not this little.
Yeah, get
like,
me something.
We need some linemen. Like, we need some dudes.
Me Hosses. Something. So the irony is the coach who needed these guys was Mayo.
Yeah, I don't think Vrabel needs them as much, but if he wants them, and they're like, great, bring them in. You got more experience now on the staff by 20-fold compared to what you had a year ago. I'll take it.
617-779-7937. You can jump in on the Patriots coaching staff hires, your Super Bowl preview. You want to manifest a Super Bowl for next year? By all means. Yes,
Keith? Good text. Saquon Barkley sticking into the Giants with every touch is enough to balance out his Philly disdain, which is a good point. That's close.
It's right around
not
it, Keith.
Not really. Can I buy a vowel?
It's in the ballpark.
But that is a good point. Saquon
sticking it to the Giants.
That's nice.
No, that is nice.
I like that. I assume Brady meant to do it, but maybe he didn't. But he was like, what a giant mistake to let him go.
I heard that, too.
That's a good line.
You think that was intentional?
Yes, I do.
He rehearsed it and rehearsed it.
What a giant mistake.
That was a giant mistake, Kevin.
A New York Giants mistake.
Speaking of Barkley,
KB. He doesn't call him Kevin. He calls him KB.
That's a good point.
The whole time.
KB. You hear that, KB?
I said KB.
Giant mistake, KB.
Great point, KB.
Can Saquon run the Eagles past the Chiefs? We'll get to it with all your thoughts next. Saquon Barkley really is unbelievable.
What a season.
What a season. That play to me was very indicative of two things. How dominant the Eagles offensive line is, because he didn't get touched. He was 10, 12, 15 yards down the field. and then how individually brilliant he is to spin out of those tackles and run away from the defense. So a lot of guys would have had 12, 15 yards there.
Mm-hmm.
He turned it into a 60-yard house call, and he's been doing that all year long. Nick, what were you telling us off the air before the show? Like, his over-under on longest run, the prop keeps going up. It was like 18,
so
then 25.
Last week, it was 18 and a half for his longest rush. He ripped the 70-yard touchdown run against the Rams, and it went from 18 and a half to 25 and a half.
Every
his
week.
His first run, he hit the
60.
Over.
Every week, it's 60, 70 yards for this guy.
Well, I was going to do over yard. Like, I'll take, you know, whatever the yards are. It's probably like 100. No, it was 130.
It was
the over-under.
It
now,
was
he
massive.
Didn't even hit it. He didn't have to. They took him out of the game. It ended up being a blowout. First two touches he had, touchdowns. So, yeah, his season and, you know, running the ball first. I mean, and then you also throw in Jalen Hurts. I mean, those two guys combined for 6 rushing touchdowns, which is insane. Because Hurts, it's not just the tush push, which they have obviously perfected. But he can also run, and he can make guys miss. And so, yeah, they looked like a dominant force yesterday. And Washington finally had the kind of happy to be there thing, you know, like
they got
a big win. I thought they were going to be I thought they were going to lose to the Bucks. So then they beat the Bucks, and you're like, all right, now they're going to play Detroit. They beat Detroit. Everyone's throwing them their flowers, but then they came crashing back down to earth yesterday.
I would like to have a running back to throw in people's face because I'm pro running back, and I'd be okay with drafting a running back in the first round. He was was Barkley a top 5 pick? I think he was
the second pick in the draft.
Okay, thank you. Even higher. So I would like to throw a running back in people's faces that you can win that way, especially a guy who was available for the whole. He was drafted second by the Giants, and he's on to a second team. So if you want to say that's not perfect for the team that drafted him, fine.
Yeah.
But I'd like to have that example because the whole league could have had him, including the Patriots. Patriots chose to pay Ramondre Stevenson.
Yeah, good one.
The Eagles chose to pay Saquon Barkley,
huh.
And I would say that's advantage Howie Roseman is what I would say.
Yep, check mark for him.
I also was reading this in the last break, Keith, and Billy has looked up the list. Jalen Hurts. So Patrick Mahomes going to 3 straight Super Bowls, his 5th Super Bowl overall.
Yes.
We all realize, you know, the impact and the legacy and what's at stake for him. Jalen Hurts is going to his 2nd Super Bowl. He will be, when he plays in it, the 22nd quarterback to play in multiple Super Bowls.
And there's 59 total Super Bowls, right?
Yes,
Super Bowl
yes.
59 is coming up. And, you know, last Friday we were talking more about the coaches. But, I mean, it does play out for Jalen Hurts. The idea that, like, Nick Sirianni or Dan Quinn was going to be going to their 2nd Super Bowl, which is pretty remarkable. But, yeah, Jalen Hurts, he's now become, I'd say, one of the more underrated players in the league. Because he does it a little bit differently. His overall stats didn't wow you this year.
Well, and especially this year. Everybody looks at it and they're like, it's Saquon.
And Saquon is the MVP of the team.
Yeah, but.
But, like, Jalen Hurts.
Hurts is underrated. I agree with you.
Do you know what his record is? So he had 1 year where he was 8-7, but overall in the regular season he's 46-20.
Yeah, I like him.
In like the last 3 years, the guy is an absolute machine. Plus he's also whatever he is got a winning record in the playoffs too.
So let's see how many of these guys we can name. You want to go back and forth?
Yeah,
see
let's
if we
go
can
back
name on. Name all the quarterbacks who've been to multiple Super Bowls as a starting quarterback.
Stump the Schwab style.
Okay.
All right. So Billy has the answer key.
Yeah.
All right, so let's do Hurts and Mahomes, just cancel those ones out.
Okay, so there's 20 more.
Thank you very much.
For the record, if you're watching on Twitch, you're going to see me typing. I'm going to type in our guesses as we go, but I'm not Googling it.
I know you're not.
Yeah, I
trust you.
Yeah.
All right, you want to go first?
You want me to go first?
Sure.
Yeah, I'll go with Tom Brady. I don't know if you heard of
Tom
him.
Tom Brady, good one. All right, what about Joe Montana?
Okay, good one.
How about Peyton Manning?
Okay.
What about Eli Manning?
You know what? I actually need to write down Eli
Manning,
Manning separately. No, you're right.
P. Manning, E. Manning.
How about Ben Roethlisberger?
Okay. Big Ben. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go with Troy Aikman.
Ooh, good one. Now, again, these are not Super Bowl winners. These are just Super Bowl appearances.
Yep.
Elway.
Okay. Jim Kelly.
Oh, yeah. Jim Kelly went to quite a few of those.
Yeah, he sure did. Yeah, he sure did.
Bart Starr.
Bart Starr.
Yeah, I'm going back.
Yeah.
It's two, right? He had 2 of them. Thank you. Thumbs up, Billy.
Kurt Warner.
Warner, is that right? Kurt Warner. Yep.
Yeah,
Kurt
Warner did it. Ding on that one. Ding. Ding.
Bradshaw.
Bradshaw. All right. Terry Bradshaw. All right. This is where
I'm actually already struggling.
Are you starting to struggle?
Yeah.
Did you say? Oh, yeah, you did. Russell Wilson.
Good one.
Thank you.
Russell Wilson.
So what is that? That's 14, I think?
I believe we each have 7, yeah. This is a guess. Ken Stabler? Not silent.
No! We're seeing no. So this would be for the win if I can get this one right.
Yeah.
Come on. There's got to be a few of these guys that I should be able to... How long do I have?
You got time.
I got a little bit of time.
Yeah,
thanks.
90 seconds.
Show does end at two. All right, one more guy that, started multiple Super Bowls.
Yeah.
I'm just having a hard time. I'm drawn.
I have a follow-up guess.
I am drawn a little bit of a blank, but I'm not going to allow myself to draw a blank.
Okay, yeah, don't.
I can't do that.
Don't do that.
Did Favre start too?
Good one.
Yes.
Yeah, he went. Didn't he go to back-to-back? He won, and then he lost to the... I'm sorry, he beat the Pats, and then lost to Elway.
That did take a while, but I got one.
Was Greasy on the list? Brian Greasy. I was choosing between Stabler and Greasy. I made the wrong choice. Yes.
Bob Greasy.
What did I say, Brian? I'm sorry. I meant to say...
No, not Brian. Yeah, Bob, Bob Greasy did.
Who else is on the list, Billy? Who we miss?
Roger Staubach, 4.
Duh. That's a bad one.
Fran Tarkenton, 4.
Oh, I was thinking Fran the man.
Jim Plunkett, 2. Glenn Dawson, 2. Joe Theismann, 2. Craig Morton, 2.
Okay, Plunkett. I said Stabler. Plunkett.
Plunkett, Theismann. But we did a good job. All the modern guys.
I should have got Plunkett, too, because of the Pats connection. So that's my bad.
That wasn't a bad exercise, though.
Oh, that was good. So Jalen Hurts is on that list.
You know who's not on that list? Aaron Rodgers. So Jalen Hurts has been to more. Now, Rodgers was 1-0.
Good point.
And Drew Brees was 1-0, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Hurts is already going to more Super Bowls than those guys.
So how about that? You can add that to the discussion as well. Jalen Hurts, underrated. Can Saquon single-handedly, without a big performance from Hurts, and he was great, by the way, in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs a few years ago. Hurts was awesome in that Super Bowl.
Yeah, he was.
I think he ran for 3 touchdowns. He passed for 300 yards. Eagles were ahead in that game. He did have a big fumble. But he was great in that Super Bowl. So Jalen Hurts, how big of a role does he need to do it? Or can Saquon do it on his own to beat the Chiefs? Of course, the real answer is the refs are just going to hand the Chiefs the Super Bowl, and it's all over anyway.
So bet on the Chiefs.
You can jump in on that. Plus, Super Bowl 59, do the Eagles have a real shot? We'll follow up on that with your phone calls next.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.